There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Your weekend home for all things sport.
This is The Grill on DubaiEye 103.8.
Live from Barasti.
Here's Tom Urquhart.
Yeah, it might be pretty horrific weather here in the UAE at the moment. That's seen us go indoors rather than our usual space up on the rooftop down here at Barasti. But we ain't giving up Barasti, that's for sure. Still down here between 6 and 9 every Saturday. This is The Grill. We're live here on DubaiEye 103.8, live from Barasti, where the game is always on. A couple of earlies for you between now and the next hour or so. Palace against Arsenal in the Premier League into, what, the last 20 minutes of that one? We'll give you a score update very shortly. Brentford are in action against QPR. Two teams. Teams with Premier League aspirations battling it out in the Championship at the moment. There's also a few games underway in the Copa del Rey in Spain. Also in football, five games at 7 o'clock in the Premier League, and then your 9.30 kickoff is an intriguing one. You've got Spurs against Liverpool. That's to look forward to from 9.30 this evening. Plus, we've got action from the Italian Serie A and French Ligue 1 whilst we are on air. For rugby fans, you're well catered for European Champions Cup and Challenge Cup action as the big teams look to progress in Europe and the Northern Hemisphere's biggest club tournament. Cricket, no live to report really, but we will tell you what's happening in the Big Bash. We will tell you what's been happening internationally and how the UAE have been getting on in recent times as well. Both the national side and the under-19s preparing for their World Cup. Tennis ATP Cup is coming to the business end of the tournament, and I think we've now got our head around the format a little more than we had in the first place. Plus, we will preview the Desert Swing in golf. They're down in South Africa at the moment. They will be heading up to the Middle East as of next week for the Desert Swing over the course of the next few weeks. And lest we forget, the biggest stories in sport coming out of the United States at the moment, you're well catered for with our resident US sports expert in the house. As always, if you are in the vicinity, I know it's not sort of beach weather, but that doesn't mean that Barasti hasn't got anything to offer. In fact, a great crowd in here watching the football at the moment. Your football is being shown across 20 plus screens down here inside and out. So if you fancy a novel place to come and watch your live sport with, of course, the elements ever dramatic outside, then get on down to Barasti, where the game is always on.
This is The Grill.
Join the conversation.
Text 4001 or message us for free on the DubaiEye app.
This is The Grill. We're live from Barasti, where the game is always on. A couple of hashtags and handles for you: at Barasti Beach, at DubaiEye Sport, at DubaiEye1038FM, hashtag The Grill. Get yourself involved on that one, and also get yourself on to the handles of The Grill panel. Ross Christ is with us. Christo, good to have you on board. You got your work cut out?
Yeah, it's good to be back. Happy New Year to you, Tom. Happy New Year to the listeners. It's been a while. Been in Australia, been in Vietnam, but right now back in Dubai in the Middle East. Lots of sports going on back in my neck of the woods. It is the NFL playoffs, and Tom Brady is out of them. He got knocked out by his former teammate, who is now a head coach. That's how long Tom Brady's been playing in the NFL, so we'll look at that. The NBA is in full swing. Kevin Durant getting in a feud with another former teammate in Kendrick Perkins, so we'll look at that feud, that Twitter exchange. NHL's in full swing, so we'll look at some of those scores. And then the man from Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, Conor McGregor, is going back inside the ring. He's going to be fighting Donald Cowboy Cerrone and UFC 246. That will be a big one. And then there's the little matter of the BCS national title, which will be Tuesday, January 14th. You're going to have to get up at 5 a.m. for this one, because it's going to be the Clemson Tigers versus Louisiana State University in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Can't wait for that one.
Looking forward to all those and more. We will address some of those stories. There's live guests joining us as well. Chris McCarty's heading on down. He's been at the Rangers game down at the Sevens ground. We'll get some more from him on that one. And Mark Archer's alongside us as well. Archie, big day for Northern Hemisphere rugby.
Yes, action in the Champions Cup. European rugby does return this weekend. We see a couple of results from last night. We saw Bath defeat Harlequins in a dead rubber match, 25 points to 19. Concerning for England, though, Anthony Watson, the England centre, he got injured in front of Eddie Jones, who was watching that game and may miss some of the Six Nations, which gets underway in a couple of weeks' time, 2nd of February. And also the French team, La Rochelle, they had a win against Sale, 30 points to 23. Five matches today. A couple are underway, and I'll bring you those scores shortly in the Champions Cup. Plenty of matches in the Challenge Cup as well, nine matches in total. full range of Premier League action back. Six matches getting underway at 7 p.m. UAE time, including Leicester, Chelsea and also Man United in action. Late kickoff, Tottenham taking on Liverpool, and we have live action at the moment,
yeah,
Tom, from Selhurst Park.
Yeah. Let's get down to the early. Selhurst Park is where Crystal Palace are entertaining Arsenal, not just any old Arsenal, Arsenal under new management, and Arsenal with just 10 men on the pitch.
They do indeed. This is the early kickoff in the Premier League. It's currently 13 minutes remaining of regulation time. Crystal Palace 1, Arsenal 1. And I can tell you that the Gabon international striker, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, has been in action today. He got the scoring underway for Arsenal after 12 minutes. He scored the early goal, but he has been sent off for foul play. A dangerous challenge means that he has seen a red card. Arsenal are down to 10 players for the final 25 minutes, and it will be a really fascinating final display. And I tell you what, we've got controversy here, Tom. We could have a goal. We could have a VAR. It's been gone out for a corner here, and we're going to wait and see what happens with the referee here. Highly controversial here, and we're going to whether a goal's been awarded, but it's Crystal Palace hot on attack. The ball could have been bundled over the line here. We're waiting to see a replay of the action. It's incredibly close to going in. And
it's more the handball, I think, when the ball comes back. Let's have a look, see whether it hits a hand or not on the way through here, because the reclaim from the Palace fans is that ball comes out and then it hits the hand.
Oh, it's the shoulder.
Isn't it?
I think that's not going to be a goal there. I think it's going to go out for a Crystal Palace corner. But all action from Selhurst Park. Jordan Ayew scored the equalising goal for Crystal Palace after 54 minutes. It was a deflected shot off the Arsenal defender David Luiz. No goal. Continued play. 12 minutes remaining in this match, Tom. Crystal Palace 1, Arsenal 1.
Also got action in the Championship at the moment. Fascinating game in the Championship. Two teams, as I mentioned a little bit earlier on, with Premier League aspirations, if you like, as Brentford, who've been so good in the Championship so far this season. They're taking on QPR. 71 minutes on the clock in that particular one down in the Championship. And Brentford, again, to the fore. They lead by 3-1 after 71 minutes. Wales on 62 for QPR, but it was a first half salvo from Brentford. Benrahma and Mbeumo and Watkins all scoring in the first half. They led 3-0 at halftime. QPR have just pulled one back within the last 10 minutes, but as I said, about 20 minutes on the clock there. It looks like Brentford will be taking the points yet again in that particular game, which would see them maintain their position at third in the Championship at the moment, just behind Leeds and West Brom. Okay, let's get to a couple of the talkers as we address some of the big talking points in the world of sport. You mentioned Tom Brady already. Chris Gayle's also been in the news. What do they share, these two, in the news this week?
Delaying retirement.
So both of them.
Peter Pan syndrome.
The Peter Pan syndrome. Chris Gayle and Tom Brady saying that they feel confident they can play through until 45. I think it's a given, isn't it, in the world of sport, that one of the questions you get asked post 30, pretty much every press conference, is, are you done? You know, you're thinking about retirement. Are your best years behind you, etc.? It looks like these two, though, are two that have bucked the trend. So question to you about both as well. Is 45 realistic for Tom Brady, for you, Ross Crist? Is 45 realistic for the one and only Chris Gayle, for you, Mark Archer? Plus, put your thinking caps on. I'm trying to think of, and let's throw this open to the listeners as well, other sports stars that have continued playing past the ripe old age of 40 in any game or any team. If you can think of any that you can throw into the mix, please do text your thoughts through us on 4001.
This is The Grill
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
So let's get some on those then. Archie, Chris Gayle, 45, yes, no?
Yeah, why not? I mean, he pick and chooses when he plays international cricket for the West Indies these days. He's unavailable more than he's available, and he can pick and choose which franchise tournaments he plays around the world. So if he's still scoring runs, if he's still mobile in the field, if he's still getting selected by franchises, then he'll keep playing until he's 45 or even 50. But the world boss, or the universe boss, as he calls himself, yeah, why not? If he's still being picked up by franchises, he's still available for selection, then I guess that will dictate whether he stays available. And at the moment, he's still kicking on and playing.
I suppose cricket's worked in his favour to a certain degree, isn't it? Hadn't it? I mean, he's a man who's made his millions from franchise cricket. He's also made his name in every other form of cricket. But franchise cricket came at just about the right time, because now that's obviously what his body can handle. His attributes are well suited for that particular game. and he gets paid bundles of money for it as well.
Yeah, and let's be honest, he's a hard-hitting top-order batsman. He doesn't have to do a lot of running between the wickets, so he stands there and hits the ball as hard as he can. And he fields in the slips or in a position where he's not going to be exposed too much. And so he seems to be surviving pretty well as the universe boss. And long may it live on. He's always one of the characters of cricket. He's one of the guys that you'd still pay good money to go see live, I think, and watch on TV. He's box office. And I think he still holds some value to franchises wanting to pay his fee to get him to appear for them.
Christo, Tom Brady. I mean, we've been talking about his retirement for several seasons now, haven't we? He's always been adamant that it's not something he wants to address. We thought maybe it was this year, given the fact that we'll have a bit more time off, won't he, at the end of the season than usual?
Yeah, he does. He gets to start his postseason a little bit early for Tom Brady this year as he just left the playoffs courtesy of the Tennessee Titans. Tom Brady sitting at 42 years young or 42 years old, depending on how you look at it, plays quarterback under center for the New England Patriots for his entire career. Now, American football is a very, very violent game. The average amount of time a player plays in the league is about 2 to 3 years. So Tom Brady has beat every single trend generally that we've ever seen in the game. Do I believe Tom Brady when he says he's going to play till he's 45? I believe he's going to try to play till he's 45. He's definitely going to get offered a contract this year. Keep in mind, Tom Brady's entering free agency this year, so he's going to come in. He's going to be able to pick and choose whatever team he really wants to go to. Now, do I think he'll believe those New England Patriots? That's up for another debate, because there's some people saying he might be heading down to sunny Southern California where he's from. But Tom Brady keeps incredible shape of his body. He eats right. He has trainers throughout his whole entire life, in many aspects of his life as well. And Tom Brady has also never been at the hands of a concussion. He's had an ACL, which has done him in about 10 years ago. But in terms of concussion, he's remained relatively brain injury free from the brain. So when he says he's going to play till 45, I believe him, and I want him to keep playing till he's 45 because he's box office.
Couple of questions for you, Roscoe, on Tom Brady. 42 years young, 6 Super Bowl rings. Do you see him, or do you see New England saying, look, Tom, thanks for 2 decades of sterling work. You're the greatest quarterback of all time, arguably the greatest football player of all time, but you're not the guy for us to lead us forward. We need to go younger. Could you see him playing a backup role, or could you see him actually playing for another NFL, one of the other 32 franchises?
There's a better chance of you being a backup quarterback than Tom Brady being a backup quarterback. Tom Brady does not know what the word backup means. So he's not going to be a backup role at any point in his career.
So given that then, will he stay at New England, or will he be starting under center for another franchise?
So listen, one thing the New England Patriots do better than any other sports team out there in the world is they don't let you inside on what the heck they're thinking. Every single year, Tom Brady comes up for a free agency, this whole entire fiasco starts of where's Tom Brady going to go? What former coach is going to lure him into his franchise? And guess what? He signed some team-friendly, lucrative deal. He gets paid. He'll be a top 10 paid quarterback in the league. He'll lead them to some miraculous season with some players around him. They do need some more parts. But I see Tom Brady staying right up there in Foxborough and continuing his career. Now, if I had to pick any other team, not named New England Patriots, that Tom Brady would be a part of, it would be the Los Angeles Chargers. Los Angeles Chargers, Philip Rivers is entering free agency as well. He's 36 years old. He's one of the best quarterbacks, but he's never got them to a Super Bowl. Tom Brady's from Southern California. I could easily see Tom Brady transitioning into some sort of Hollywood role post-retirement, and that's a good spot to be living in as well.
You see him doing a LeBron.
I could see him going out there, building his brand. He's married to one of the most famous supermodels, if not the most famous supermodel in the world. What better place to do it than Los Angeles, where he's from as well? And let's keep in mind one other thing, a little tidbit of information. Tom Brady and Giselle sold their house in New England this year, so Tom Brady's homeless. So he's not only is he looking for a team, he's a homeless man.
I think he's all right. He's probably got a roof over his head.
I told him,
still,
you know, if he needs to come by JLT Cluster, he's got a spare bedroom for him.
He just has to get through the lakes outside at the moment. 4001, if you're having problems on the roads, the UAE, keeping you moving out there as well, trying to spot the areas that have been flooded before they become an issue. So those that have gone on past 45, we've had a couple of text messages already on this one. Keep them coming in. 4001. Tiger Woods is an obvious one.
Yeah, yep. Tiger Woods well into his 40s. We see a lot of golfers, though.
I mean, golf is a difficult one. I don't know. Can we play
golf? I think golf is a different a different beast, because it's not really a contact sport, is it? And it's not really stressing the body
cricket,
like some of these other
is
sports.
Is that a contact sport?
But cricket, but you're standing in the box. It takes more of a beating on the body, excuse me. One thing that Chris Gayle and Tom Brady both have, love for the game. You see it in these guys. Chris Gayle wants to be out there. Tom Brady wants to be out there. Every time he talks about it in their press conferences, you can see how much they have it in the passion. I think it's one of the coolest things in sport, in all of sport, is when you have an old guy going out there against a bunch of teenagers and still getting it done. Floyd Mayweather, there's a guy who's still getting it done. Manny Pacquiao, he's still getting it done. These are still guys that
Roger Federer, to a degree.
Roger Federer still, no. Yeah, I mean...
Well, will he go past 40? That's the question, isn't it?
Right.
I mean...
Yeah, well, he's still playing. He's still fit. His body's still in good shape.
And he's still, 3 years away, though, isn't he?
But he's hanging on for the Olympics in Tokyo this year in August, and then we'll see where he sits. But he doesn't... We've been hinting it for a number of years and enjoyed Roger Federer while he's at the peak of his game, but it's coming to an end sometime. It's inevitable. I've got one for you.
Go on.
Kelly Slater, 47 years old, 11 World Surfing Championships, and still going strong. And surfing does take a bit of wear and tear on the body. You get bashed around a bit in the waves there. There's plenty of travel involved in surfing. But what a great athlete he's been in his sport of surfing, dominant for a long time, and great to see him continuing.
A couple of others that come through to us as well. Martina Navratilova, she's obviously played well into her 40s, albeit moved from the singles into the doubles as well. Regardless, Arch, you know, he's played past her 40s. Any others that we can throw into the mix as well? I'm trying to think of any footballers that crossed over from 40. Was Bruce Grobbelaar 40 when he gave up the gloves? Because keepers would be the ones to go for, wouldn't they? Rather than out players. Keepers seem to play a lot longer. We might have to wait until...
Peter Schmeichel was around a long time as well, wasn't he? Towards the end of his career.
He was, yeah. Brett Favre?
Favre was in his 40s as well. Crouch retired this year at 38. He played long innings for a football team. So I don't know any soccer players that went into their 40s. Though you're going to have to tweet us.
Baseballers have a lot of longevity, particularly
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played till he was 42, I think. That's what it says in front of me, anyway.
Ross, Major League baseballers, apart from pitchers, a lot of guys spend a lot of seasons playing Major League baseball.
Bonds,
Jamie Moyer, I think. Jamie Moyer was a pitcher. He played, I think, till he's 42 years old. Barry Bonds, I think, played till his 40th birthday as well. Roger Clemens played till he's quite old as well. So, yeah, it's hard, but you see the pitchers, they still do it. I think the oldest to ever play was Jamie Moyer. I'll look that one up for you, but... Yeah, it's just a rarity that we see in sport. I mean, certainly in baseball, I mean, you can do it if you keep track of your body. Some guys love the game. You saw Manny Ramirez coming out there trying to stay into the game, and I think that's why we see the evolution of PEDs in baseball, people trying to stay young and trying to collect those paychecks as long as they can. But I think with the American football, because it's such a violent game, I mean, we see with the amount of concussions, the amount of injuries, that Tom Brady's feet is greater than the other feats. I do think that.
What about ice hockey? I think a lot of players
play. Zdeno Chara, he's currently playing in.
How old was Wayne Gretzky when he retired? He played for a long time. Great legacy in the match. And I would have thought even ice hockey with its it's pretty physical, isn't it? It's pretty taxing on the body, particularly if you're doing a lot of checking.
Gordie Howe played until he was 52 years old.
Gordie Howe, there you go.
Yes, he was a legend of the game as
Detroit
well.
Detroit Red Wings,
yeah.
Is that right?
Legend of the game.
And Satchel Paige.
Pitcher.
Played until he was 59 years old.
Yeah. bit of a different time then. If you look at the times when Satchel Paige was playing, it was about 100 years back. But that's a man that clearly could not give up the cleats and loved the baseball diamond.
Boxing's another one, though, isn't it? I mean, I'm just looking at some of the lists in front of me. Bernard Hopkins fought till he was 51 years old. Big George.
George Foreman, oldest heavyweight champion of all time.
Yeah, well, he was 46 at the time or something like that?
Yeah, when he won the belt, so... Yeah, if you can keep track of your body, I don't know how these boxers do it. They get paid to get hit in the head every single day, so and they go until their 40s. It's simply remarkable. You see what Floyd Mayweather does with his body outside the ring, how he tries to keep it intact. He's been retired now for about 2 years, and I still feel he could walk in the ring and knock down half of the boxers in his division. So it's simply amazing.
Phil Nuxie Nietcro, ring a bell? Apparently, spent his 20s and 30s establishing himself as the most successful knuckleball pitcher in MLB history.
Knuckleballers can go longer than any type of pitcher. So knuckleballers throw a soft ball.
It's like being a spin bowler in cricket.
Oh, right, okay.
So they not too much wear and tear on the
you
body.
You don't really have to gear it up. We can pitch it as fast as a knuckleballer can. It's just they have the skill to make that ball swerve in the air.
If you could think of any others, we're talking for still fit after 45, or still fit to play over 45. Tom Brady and Chris Gayle both coming out this week and saying that, well, they think that they could be playing at the top of the game until they're 45. Arch?
Must be a few darts players in their 40s.
I'm not going down that path again.
When Chris McCarty arrives, I'm sure he can give us a full briefing on the darts players.
Not going down that path again. Do send us your thoughts. Text us now on 4001. Take a break.
This is The Grill.
Join the conversation.
Tweet the team at Dubai Eye Sport.
Game on down here at Barasti, where the game is always on if you're looking for somewhere to watch your sport. Not just this weekend, but throughout the course of 2020. What a year we got for sport. I've just been thinking about that a little earlier on today. Olympics year. Cricket T20 World Cup year. Ryder Cup year.
Ryder Cup, that's correct. Oh, hang on. Whistling Straits.
It's all getting a bit tetchy down at Selhurst Park. That's where we need to go for the latest report.
A lot of how's your far. There's a lot of niggle in this match between Crystal Palace and Arsenal. It's 1-1. We're in the final minute of injury time, and it's all kicked off. Lots of push, lots of shove, and the players. It's been a lot of feistiness in this match, Tom. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang sent off after 70 minutes for a dangerous challenge, and both teams have been flying into challenges since then. There's a lot of chat, there's a lot of niggle. Crystal Palace have a free kick outside the Arsenal area. It's going to be one last throw of the dice. Can they make something happen from this? It's 1-1 at the moment into the final 15 seconds, so let's wait and see if anything happens from this final ball into the Arsenal box. It's been half cleared. It's been a half chance there to Tompkins. It's been hit high, wide and handsome over the Arsenal goal. Players are down. Players are pushing and shoving. It's all been happening in the last couple of minutes, but I think this is going to end very shortly, Tom. It's 1-1 at the moment. We'll bring you that full-time score from Selhurst Park very shortly.
Crystal Palace and Arsenal. 10-man Arsenal, that is. Currently a one apiece. That's not the case down in the Championship, where Brentford are taking on QPR. Brentford, with that injection of cash at the moment, all sorts going on with Brentford, and they're looking good for that money. They're currently in third place in the Championship, and they're flying today against QPR. They're near neighbours, in fact, something of a London derby, this one a West London derby. Brentford leading QPR by 3-1. Wells with the goal for QPR in the second half. All the goals for Brentford coming in the first half for Benrahma, Mbeumo and Watkins. So Brentford looked to have secured the 3 points there. There was one game last night in the Premier League, which saw Sheffield United take on. Just before I bring you this one, it is all done down at Selhurst Park. Full-time down there. Sharing the points, Crystal Palace 1, Arsenal 1 is your final score there. As to last night in the Premier League, Sheffield United entertaining West Ham. Sheffield United winning this one 1-0. However, it wasn't without its controversy. Guess what? VAR to the end yet again. West Ham denied a goal in the dying minutes of that game. And their manager, their new manager, David Moyes, didn't mince his words with regards to VAR after the game.
I think Declan bursts through. Defender does well to get back. Heads the ball, tries to clear it. I don't know, what are we? It used to be that we defenders were told that we put our hands behind, do all the players in the pitch now, whatever part of the pitch you need to have your hands behind your back. So you can't get away. You're running using your arms. So good goal. And there's a big campaign probably to try and get them to change this ruling. I mean, you could say they're trying to change the offside ruling as well. There's lots of things which were not comfortable with it. I would be surprised if there wasn't people in IFAB who were probably ex-managers or ex-players, etc. But it looks like a law that nobody's really enjoying that much.
So David Moyes suggesting there that maybe the powers that be need to look at VAR. Declan Rice, who was the player who was involved with that decision, it was in fact his hand that was, or his arm, I should say, that was adjudged to have touched the ball, therefore negating that goal. He was less diplomatic after the game, basically saying that none of the players, not just him, who's been on the receiving end of a bad decision, but none of the players in the Premier League want VAR.
We're fuming, really. You know, all the lads in there are livid. Obviously, it was a tough place to come. You know, they've been excellent all season, and you know, credit to them, they grinded it out again and won the game. You know, these places are tough to come. I thought we'd done well. You know, we knew what we was up against. We created some chances ourselves, missed some chances, And of course, the goal at the end there, that's a tough one to take because, you know, a point on the road here would have been good for us.
Did you have any inkling at all when you put Snodgrass in, the goal goes in, that it might get checked, that it'd hit your hand?
Nah. You know, I just watched it back there before we come on camera, and he's knocked the ball into my hand. I know I'm in a forward running motion, and he's headed the ball into my hand. And of course, if you're running with your arms like that and the ball's hit your arm, now the rule, like you said, is handball, but I've not intentionally meant to handball it. And of course, you play on, Mike's not seen it, and then VAR's checked it, and you know they've disallowed the goal. It's a real kick in the teeth.
So you and I did discuss this briefly off camera. Yeah. Is it your view, and I know like this is all very fresh, but the problem is the handball rule or VAR?
Well, I think it's just not me. I don't think it's just me. I think it's the faults of every Premier League player that, you know, I don't think pretty much anyone wants to have VAR in the game. There's been so many decisions this season that's been absolutely crazy. Obviously, sometimes it works, but you see there, they're celebrating VAR like it's a goal. You know, football shouldn't be like that. You know, the emotions there, the West Ham fans shown when we've equalised late, that's real emotion. And, you know, they're celebrating VAR. And, yeah, look, I don't think we're all too happy with it, to be honest, but look, it's in the game now and we've just got to get on with it.
Is it the case that it doesn't feel fair, it just doesn't feel right?
Yeah, exactly that. Look, it's on there again. I just can't get over it, the way he's knocked it into my hand. And I'm not intentionally meant to handball the ball. And they've checked it, and, mate, I can't get over it, to be honest. It's crazy. Like I said, that would have been a great point on the road. You know, my emotions are coming out, but, you know, that's football.
And like you say, as you're celebrating, I know we've kind of gone over this, but as you're jogging back and celebrating, it's not even in your head at all that it might not stand.
No, I'm thinking it's a good point on the road. I'm thinking, yeah, buzzing, you know, I've ran 20 metres up the pitch, won the ball, got it down, slipped in Snods, and, you know, we scored a great goal as a team. You know, the emotions, you're celebrating with the fans and you're thinking, buzzing, yes. And then as soon as Mike blows the whistle and they check for a possible handball, I don't think there's been many handballs turned over this season. So when I was speaking to the Sheffield lads, they said, look, if it hits your hand, it's handball. And I just pretty much turned away and walked away. I knew it was it. I knew it was it then.
So that's what's happening, what happened last night in the Premier League. Sheffield United beating West Ham by 1-0. Mark Archer, can't go through a week these days without a chat about VAR.
No, tough break for West Ham as well. I did watch it this morning, the replay of it, and it looked like a controversial decision at best. And I guess, I mean, you look at game after game this season, there's been something in most games that's come back to VAR, and you can debate it either way, depending on where the decision falls. It seems to be a little bit of indecisiveness about what should be referred. Is it a decision that needs to be changed or not changed, or an influential decision by the referee? But look, all in all, Sheffield Wednesday, fifth in the Premier League. Amazing season that they're having. And then I guess you look at the other end of it, West Ham, who are, every point's vital, are back in 16th. So tough breaks for West Ham. You're a Hammers fan yourself, and you must have been a bit disappointed when that decision didn't earn them a point.
Yeah, I was disappointed with it, but at the same time, I did have that sort of thought. I mean, what would if the boot was on the other foot? You know, if it was Sheffield United who were bemoaning a last minute equaliser that was disallowed because of VAR, I'd be sat there going, "Oh no, this is a brilliant system. I absolutely love it. I don't really understand what the big moaning is about." And therefore, there's always going to be an unhappy side, and there's always going to be a happy side, isn't it? It's whether it gets balanced out throughout the season, I suppose, is the big issue. But it is interesting listening there to Declan Rice and his suggestions that not all the players are convinced by it, because it seems to just be focusing on too much on elements that obviously have been part of the game since its inception, Ross.
Yeah, they seem to just zone in on one small, littlest item of an entire play, and they take out the sequence of, I guess, the real timing of the play. Is what I'm saying is sometimes I think they're nitpicking a little bit with the VAR. And as this goes on, as it progresses, it has to only get better, you'd think, right? I mean, when you bring in a new technology to any type of sport, as the sport progresses, they'll get better at it. Of course, they're going to be horrific at it at the beginning. This is the very first time that they've really used it in the Premier League. So I would imagine in 10 years' time, we're going to be talking less and less about this on a Saturday afternoon after watching the games.
And let me tell you one thing. VAR's here to stay. It's only going to get 100%. Developed. It's only going to get refined. it's a bit like what we've seen with the decision review system in cricket. Took a while to get it sort of to a more acceptable
decision. Hawkeye
decisions.
And tennis.
Hawkeye and tennis. And you look at the NFL, Ross, the progress that they've had to make over probably a decade of reviewing decisions and coaches' challenges has changed and evolved. The laws do change around the protocol on using video refereeing or video technology, and it has evolved, particularly in American sport, even in basketball and a few other things. It has developed through time and through tested systems.
American sport sets the precedent for replay, official replay. And you know, I'm a Pittsburgher. One of the biggest plays of all Pittsburgh is the immaculate reception, where Franco Harris bends over, picks up the ball, scampers into the end zone with 10 seconds left, and the Pittsburgh Steelers defeat the Oakland Raiders, John Madden Oakland Raiders. And there was a big debate: did the ball touch that ground? If VAR, video replay, was around back in the 70s, who knows? Maybe the greatest play for my entire city would have been overturned. But at the end of the day, football, soccer, basketball, baseball, hockey, all these sports need to evolve with the times. And with the times, we're going to have technology. Technology is going to be in part of all sports, and it's here to stay, and it's only going to get better. At the beginning, it'll be horrific, as we're seeing right now.
So from Chris Wilder, now the Sheffield United boss. No big surprise, he wasn't that too bothered about VAR after the game.
Yeah, I feel for David. As fellow manager, that's happened to us two or three times this season. Snodgrass again. He played against us against Villa a couple of seasons ago and stuck one in the top corner in the 90th minute. And he come back to thought it was a repeat act similar to haunt us. But we've got a decision there. But as I said, we've been in that position two or three times this season. So it's I should imagine, desperately disappointing for them.
Do you feel differently about the decision when it goes for you than when it goes against you? In fact, the process of it?
Well, yet again, you know, players go off, celebrate, last-minute goal. You know, I know a few of their boys, and Declan and Mark Noble, and they're saying the same things that our boys were saying when it's gone against us. So, you know, we'll only know at the end of the season if it's evened itself out, as everybody keeps talking about. But we've certainly dodged the bullet late on from our point of view. Thought we were in control second half, a lot better second half to what the first half was, and really should have put them to bed. But you don't put teams to bed. We've had two or three good opportunities, give the ball away, go back to the goalkeeper, go backwards and square and safe, then you invite it on, and obviously we've invited it on, and they've took advantage of it, but we've been saved by decision.
Chris, were you disappointed at halftime? What did you say to your players? It was a little bit flat first half, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. We had to grind it out a little bit. You know, it's a huge 3 points for us. I'm always, you know, result as well as performance, but the result is far bigger than the performance tonight. We gave the ball away cheaply. We never got going, never got into a rhythm. We were caught in between, whether to press, whether to drop off and protect. I thought we were, we didn't react or anticipate, allowed players to get out of tight areas and weren't physical enough. And I thought second half, we certainly started off on the front foot. More physical.
Where do you think that came from, first half? Just the last, you said a couple of days rest maybe, and just players?
I don't know, because you know, the preparation was good for us, and we were really, you know, we're always up for a game, but it was just, as I said, it was just a bit lackluster, and they got a few passes in and got into some good positions, and it wasn't us, so a few little reminders. But we still gave the ball away so cheaply second half, but I thought, you know, we created the better chances. I never really felt that they were going to score. I always felt that we would take it from 1-0 to 2-0.
Yeah.
And we obviously had chances to do that.
Fleck in midfield, I was so impressed with him. Obviously, you know, coming to the Premier League this season, and people talk about Sheffield United, the system, but actually the quality you have in midfield, and it looks like a brilliant balance you've got there with his left foot, Norwood sitting, and Lundstrom making runs constantly, you know, getting on the back post, in behind people. How pleased are you with your midfield this season?
Yeah, I mean, we try to, through the three, you know, with their system today, we should have got Basham and O'Connell out a lot more with Ollie Norwood, but to be fair, they jumped on him a little bit. I didn't think, from our point of view, the midfield players were at their best with the ball, gave the ball away cheaply. They're a lot better than that usually, but the energy that they give us, the structure that they give us to go in this system, if teams are playing three at the back, then one of them have got to go and release onto the centre half, the third centre half. Mm. And Fleck did that better second half, and Lundstrom did that better second half. But no, the players have been outstanding, and they said, you know, if we are going to
play and take the handbrake off. Let's, you know, and let's go and do it. Let's not go out the back door. And I felt we were, as I said, a bit of tentative first half. And I thought second half, we took the handbrake off. I thought it was a great start. John cemented one of their players early on. I thought that just, the crowd were great, but that really gave us a lift and an impetus to go on and back that up and follow that in behind.
Chris, let's take a look at the table, because you're up into fifth place in the table. I think we're past the point where we're surprised by the success that Sheffield United are having. But do you also have to be slightly cautious when you look at the table, or are you aiming higher?
No, we really are cautious, because, Kelly, I thought, you know, it wasn't a great performance from us, but as the boys know as well, sometimes you forgive not a great performance for a big 3 points, and it's certainly a huge 3 points to take us into the 30s. At that stage of the season is fantastic for the group of players and the football club. It is on to the next game. Yet again, Arsenal away, and then followed up by Manchester City at home. So we felt this was a big night for us. We had to make sure that we picked something up, and thankfully in the end, we've picked a big 3 points up.
Into the 30s. Don't tell me you're looking at the 40-point mark.
Well, I think you talk about, you talk about just next point or next 3 points. I think we have to feel that way. I've never said about 40 points, never once. We'll assess it right the way through, but it is, accumulation of points. Sorry, being boring, but accumulation of points and see where it takes us. But as I said, we've still got some huge challenges ahead of us. But the learning, they've learned hopefully from the Man City and Liverpool game as well. And hopefully they've learnt from our first half performance to our second half performance, because I thought the difference was quite dramatic.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Game on down here at Barasti. It's at Barasti Beach if you are sending in your thoughts, at Dubai iSport if you want to get in touch with the show. This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on, with me, Tom Urquhart, Ross Crist with us, and Mr. Mark Archer. Chris McCarthy's down at the Emirates 7 Stadium. He's probably going to be there for the next 3 weeks by the looks of things. The roads aren't great, I'm not going to lie to you. We're going to try and keep you moving this evening, because we have had problems. You might have noticed it rained last night. For about 12 hours, basically. I've been here for many a year, and I think that was the longest downpour that I've seen, longest and heaviest downpour for quite some time. And let it be fair, the country is paying the price today when it comes from trying to get from A to B. So just a quick one around the table, because I've just come in from the Hatter Road, tried to get here. Areas down around Murdoch City Centre to be avoided if possible. Also, if you are coming up from the Hatter Road, as it were, the Sakeem turn off from the Al Kail Road, or Mohammed bin Zayed Road as it is known, is not available. Basically, you have to go to the next one, to the Hesse Street, because the Sakeem Road junction area seemed to be flooded. And that's an area you sort of came through, wasn't it?
Yeah, I drove down Sheikh Zayed Road backwards and forwards just before the show here down at Barasti. And I've got to say, there is, I wouldn't say it was flooded, but there is excess water, so be very careful if you are driving on Sheikh Zayed Road. And then some of the exits where you do come off around Al Manara Street onto Sakeem Road, there is excess water. So be very careful when exiting and entering Sheikh Zayed Road around some of the junctions.
If you're heading to the airport, give yourself plenty of time. If you don't need to go to the airport, don't, because the area around the airport is very impacted by the flooding on the roads at the moment. And the airport itself has also seen standing water on a number of the runways and areas there, seeing a delay in flights and in some cases cancellation. So the word from DXB is please do check your flights in advance, which Mark Archer is doing round about now. Did you come far, Mr. Ross Crist?
No, I probably have the easiest commute out of us three. I'm just coming over from the JLT. Easy, smooth sailing. Everyone stay safe out there. It is going to rain tonight, or allegedly it might rain some more tonight from the hours of 12 to 1. We have a 51% chance of precipitation. Temperature is going down to 16 degrees. KHDA, if you have little ones at home or you work in education, just tweeting one minute ago. We understand that different schools are in different situations all across Dubai. We know that principals are thinking about the safety of their students and staff, and we trust them to make the right decision for their school. Stay safe, everyone. So KHDA not coming out, canceling the schools. All the kids are glued to that Twitter account when the weather goes bad, let me tell you, gentlemen, because they hold the power to say we're shutting the doors today. But it doesn't look like they're going to be doing that as of right now. But everyone, watch that Twitter account for tomorrow and keep up with the educational systems out here in the UAE. Stay safe.
Stay safe is the word from Ross Crist, who's just basically nicked Mark Archer's job there. Archer's long been known as the weatherman. That's not his former hitman's nickname or pseudonym or anything like that. It's just the fact that he likes to talk about the weather wherever he is around the world and ringing in live to the show. And I was just watching him there, Christo, and he was basically green with envy in his eyes looking at you there.
The intern takes over for the coach.
Yeah, he did a fine job. And
with the begrudging way he said that, you know?
Yeah, it was a game effort, wasn't it, from Ross to describe the weather here in the UAE. But if you are out driving either tonight or tomorrow morning, be very careful. Keep your speeds checked and hope to get to where you need to get to safely.
Just one final one on that one. A lot of you are out on the roads at the moment. You have to be, but because of needs, must, etc. So if you see any areas that are just impossible to get past at the moment, any areas that are still problematic, then please do text us now, 4001. We'll pass on that information to others. One other one that I noticed on the way in, if you're heading down towards International City, past International City on the Hatter Road, big flooding down there, so try and avoid that road, the Hatter Road, down towards and past International City if you can. One road that seems to have been okay is the Allain Road out to the Seven Stadium. Why? Because our man Chris McCarty's still there at the moment enjoying what was. In fact, he posted a couple of pictures earlier on of the turnout for the Rangers game. Locomotive Tashkent were the team that took on Rangers in a friendly as part of their Dubai tour a little earlier on today. Great crowds out there at the Emirates Stadium. A number of them seems to have stayed on along with the team over there. And it's been a really successful trip for Rangers. In fact, Rangers and Celtic have both been in team in town over the course of the last few weeks. Let's hear now from a number of the Rangers faithful who, in fact, have set up the Rangers soccer schools here in the UAE on the back of this Rangers visit with one man who's very close to the show, Mr. Dale Gordon as well.
Dales came across to Scotland last April and it was very successful. The group played a number of academy teams as well as our own, and we're looking to build on that. So it was a perfect opportunity with the first team coming out to build on that. So this is our first camp we've held out in Dubai, and it's been a fantastic experience. The kids have been very receptive to the training, and we're looking to build on this moving forward. So we're already talking about a number of different events that we can do, and we're also looking forward to welcoming Dale back across in April this year too.
The players have loved it. You know, they're growing with confidence. There's a difference, obviously, when you're training, you know, young players week in, week out, and you've got their own training kits, etc. When they put a different shirt on, and obviously the blue and white of Glasgow Rangers with obviously the badge in the middle, all of a sudden what we have found is their level of performance has gone up by a good 25-30%, and that can only be good for, you know, for all our young players as well. So yeah, it's been brilliant. The coaches have really embraced into what the coaches have done, and we'll take that further forwards as we move forward into our season.
Eric, how much have you enjoyed the Rangers soccer schools?
A lot, really. It's like once in a lifetime, and this is actually amazing. It's like I've never done something like this. I've done it in other countries, but for like a team, professional team to come over here, it's like a lot of fun. I would say that I've learned a lot of things, and like the play style is different, of course, and it's really helpful.
We want to create a proper experience, so it's not just for the kids, it's also the coaches that come across as well. We give them an all-access area at the academy. Kids get used to the facilities, but also the parents get a real experience. So as well as getting to watch their kids play in a different environment, they also get the experience of seeing Scottish culture and make it a bit more of a holiday for them. So everyone wins from that, and I think that's been something that's been fed back, that we're not, you know, we're looking at it from everyone's perspective, making sure everyone's getting something from the experience. And as I said, it's grown arms and legs, which is fantastic for us, and again, this is another area that we're looking to expand in.
So that is what's been taking place down at the Sevens. In fact, we've had a couple of the Celtic boys down here at Barasti throughout today. Scott Brown, I can see from my broadcast position down here, as Celtic have also been in town. Do you think it's fair as well? I mean, from a sort of observer's point of view, Premier League continues throughout that packed Christmas, New Year into 2020, no respite for the Premier League. And yet Scotland, just north of the border, yeah, OK, they play their Christmas and New Year games, but then they do get that sort of week break, that week of revival and a bit of R&R for the players and the team to come out and do a bit of allegedly warm weather training.
Oh, it must be great for both those squads. And it's interesting to have both Celtic and Rangers, two very, very traditional old rivals in town at the same time, training, I believe, at the same facility up the Humber, Nass Al Sheba. And it's great that they're here, they're getting a bit of R&R. And that week off must just so much to sort of refresh themselves and just put another spring in the step so they go again in the second half of the campaign. But it's been thick and fast, hasn't it, over the last few weeks. We've lost track of which, whether it be FA Cup games or League Cup matches during the week or back to Premier League today. You almost lose track of who's playing who in which competition in England at the moment.
Let's get to some team news for you ahead of the 7 o'clock kickoffs. Chelsea Burnley is the first on our list. Chelsea making three changes from their last Premier League game. The 1-1 draw at Brighton. Most notable of these is the presence of Ross Barkley, who's recalled into midfield. He's in for N'Golo Kante, who's not in the 18 at the moment. Christian Pulisic, who scored a hat-trick at Burnley earlier in the season, is injured. So Callum Hudson-Odoi starts, while Andreas Christensen replaces Kurt Zouma at the back. Zouma, however, is on the bench with Fikayo Tomori and Mateo Kovacic. Chelsea go with Azpilicueta in goal, James, Rudiger, Christensen, and Azpilicueta and the back four. Then, as I mentioned, Barkley is taking up that midfield position alongside Jorginho and Mason Mount. Hudson-Odoi will work down the left, Willian will work down the right, and Tammy Abraham will ply his trade with the number nine on his back down the middle. Let's hear from Big Frank, or not Big Frank, Little Frank, isn't it? Frank Lampard asked in the week about a certain Olivier Giroud. Would he go? Would he stay?
With Oli, the situation is, if it's right for everybody, and first and foremost, that's us, the club, because he's under contract, then we'll look at whether he can leave the club. I think he's been a great professional here, trained brilliantly through this season, even without many opportunities. So I hold him in a lot of high regard for that and respect, but I still have to make a decision for the football club, and nothing's done yet.
How close do you sense it might be? How imminent might something
be? Well, listen, I think everyone's talking about it, so I'm not going to beat around the bush. You know, that he's, I think his agent has spoken to the club, but until we decide that it's the right thing, then of course it's not done.
Is it a question of getting someone in before he can leave?
Not necessarily.
You're listening to Dubai I-103.8. You're listening to The Grill. Those are the thoughts of Mr. Frank Lampard on Chelsea. They take on Burnley. Sean Dyche has chosen who?
Yeah, Sean Dyche has made three changes to the Burnley side, who lost disappointingly 2-1 at home to Aston Villa in their last game. Ashley Barnes misses out with his ongoing groin problem, so Jeff Hendrick starts. Aaron Lennon comes in for Robbie Brady in midfield, while Phil Bardsley drops to the bench to be replaced by Matt Loughton at right back. In goal, Pope for Burnley. It's a back four of Taylor, Mee, Tarkowski and Loughton. Middle centre midfielders of Cork and Westwood. McNeil will play up the left-hand side. Lennon will play the right. Up front's the big Kiwi striker, Wood, and slightly behind him will be Hendrick. So Burnley looking to get their campaign back on track in this match against Chelsea.
Sean Dyche speaking before the game about January. Obviously, transfer window is open. Sean Dyche has expressed his need to reinforce his squad in order to try and affirm survival in the Premier League. But he's still a bit unsure about his transfer budgets.
It doesn't change much, really. You know, you've got to have the money. So that's the biggest thing for the start point. I'm still not clear on what's available and what will be available. You've got to have the players, though. They've got to be available. You know, you can have as much money in the world. I said this week in, week out to you when it comes down to these windows. You can have as much money in the world. If the players are not available, or the other club don't want to sell, or the contracts can't be agreed, etc., then, you know, it's a very, very tough business. So money is a massive help. We all know that. But it's not the only thing. You know, things have to align other than just the money.
So those are the thoughts of Mr. Sean Dyche. We're going to get the thoughts of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in just a few moments, the Manchester United manager. They've got a tough trip they've got a tough game against Norwich this afternoon. It's Man United against Norwich, also kicking off at 7 o'clock. We'll be hearing, as I said, from Solskjaer and Daniel Farke. Let's go to the Man United team first and foremost, from Mark Archer.
Yeah, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer made 4 changes to the side that was absolutely humbled by Manchester City midweek. Tom, I went to bed at halftime. It was 3-0 to Manchester City. I said, I've had enough of this. And Solskjaer has made the changes. Big news, really, is that Harry Maguire is fit and returns to captain the side. It was originally thought he was going to be out for a long period with his hip injury, but it obviously is not as bad. So in goal, David De Gea. Williams, Maguire, Lindelof and Aaron Wan-Bissaka is the back four. Slightly withdrawn in the midfield is Nemanja Matic and, of course, Fred the Brazilian. Playing higher is Rashford on the left, Pereira on the right, and then obviously Anthony Martial is taking the number 9 shirt up front, and Juan Mata playing the sort of the 10 role just in behind Martial for Man United. That's your starting lineup.
Let's hear from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Obviously, he's got some decisions making to do in January. He's been pressed throughout the week about telling us all which players are in, which players are out during the transfer window.
Of course, we've got open discussions, and of course we're open, honest, and we talk. But I wouldn't say to you what I say to him. I would never say, well, I need this and this and this player out of the club to you, do I? And because we are building towards something, I'm almost getting bored myself about talking about this. But it doesn't change from August or 1st of September till now. It's impossible for that to change.
The worst thing you can do, really, Ollie, is bring in short-term fixes.
It wouldn't always be the worst thing you can do to put a short-term fix in if it's good for the group here and now, but you wouldn't put yourself in a situation that you've done something that you regret in 18 months' time.
So, Jesse,
Jesse is working for Man United, and whoever he speaks to and gets his advice from is none of my business. And Jesse knows what we expect from him, and I've got a great open relationship with Jesse. We talk freely, so I don't speak to the agent of many players, no.
Would you be happy going into the second half of the season with the group you've got now, adding more players in general?
I've got those conversations with Ed all the time, and we're looking at how we're going to look in 1 month's time, in 5 months' time, in a longer period. So he knows my feelings, we know our feelings, and yeah, I'm very happy with working with these players.
Let's hear it from the Norwich boss now, Daniel Farke, before I give you his team lineup ahead of their visit to Manchester United, to Old Trafford. He's worried about this the transfer window during January. Why? Because he's got a couple of quality players that he wants to hold on to for 2020 to secure Norwich's position in the Premier League. None more than one of their key players, Aarons, who remains in the team for today. The right back has been he's been courted by a number of big clubs in the Premier League. Daniel Farke's message to them: keep your hands off him.
No potential, and I wouldn't spend too much energy in order to listen to all this rumors. And Max is a young guy, 20 years old, and he is still 4.5 years of his contract left. And I think it's not the right time for him even to think about a January move. And meanwhile, I would be also a bit doubtful, if I'm honest, when too many clubs are linked with him, or he is linked with too many clubs, when I keep in mind. So I'm originally from Germany. 3 days ago, I think he signed already for Bayern Munich. Yesterday, he signed for Borussia Dortmund. And I heard rumors here in England, nearly each and every club was linked with him. I would be always a bit doubtful when so many clubs are in the race, because then you got the feeling a bit like, yeah, okay, January, and someone wants to do some business with him. Believe me, he's 20 years old, 4.5 years contract is left in his contract, and he's totally here at the right place. This guy has, I think, 21 Premier League games so far. Leave him a bit alone and let him play some football, and that's the main topic.
Norwich make just one change from their last league game against Crystal Palace on New Year's Day. Top goalscorer Timo Pukki was ruled out before the match and has been replaced by 18-year-old teenager Adam Idah up front, who makes his first Premier League start. What a place to do it, at Old Trafford. So Adam Idah up front for Norwich in replace of Pukki. As to your Norwich 11, Tim Krul will be in goal. You've got back two of Hanley and Zimmermann. The man we were just talking about there, Max Ahrens, will be playing down the right-hand side. Sam Byram down the left. Vrančić and Tetti holding roles in the midfield. Buendia will be playing down the right. Campwell down the left. McLean through the middle. And then that young man Ida making his debut up front for Norwich against Manchester United. That one kicks off in just a few moments' time. We're getting more team news coming through, and of course we will feed that team news through to you. In fact, talking of team news, let's get the thoughts now of Carlo Ancelotti. Before I tell you that, Everton entertain Brighton. Everton against Brighton kicking off in just a few moments' time. Everton manager Carlo Ancelotti has made three changes to the side, beaten 2-1 by Man City on the previous Premier League outing on New Year's Day. Michael Keane, Theo Walcott, Bernard are just a few of those changes. All come in. Seamus Coleman, Yerimina and Fabian Delph all down to the bench. So Pickford, Holgate, Keane, Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin, Sigurdsson, Walcott, Digne, Sidibe, Bernard and Davies are your starting 11 for Everton. Carlo Ancelotti, what about him? He was very quick to dispel some of the Pickford rumours. Julian Pickford, a lot of question marks around his future at Everton. The suggestion that a number of big clubs will be coming in for him during the transfer window. Again, Ancelotti, much like we heard Daniel Farke saying there, saying nothing in these rumours at all.
We spoke, as I said before, after the 5th of January. We had a meeting, positive meeting, and we are looking for, if there is some possibility to improve our squad, we are going to do. I have the total support of the owner, of the board, of the director of football. We are looking for. If you want to know the name, I can say to you, I don't want to mention the name, but all the names that were on the paper are wrong. So,
what area is the priority to improve?
There is no area, but also there is, I read that I'm not surprised about this, that I'm looking for a new goalkeeper. That this is not true. I have a great goalkeeper in goal, that is the goalkeeper of the national team. And of course, we are not looking for a goalkeeper.
Central midfielder, though?
Can be.
What assurances, though, Carlo, have you been given as regards money available to spend in this window?
As I said, a player that can improve the squad, the quality of the squad. But I am here to talk about football and not about transfer market.
So those are the thoughts of Carlo Ancelotti ahead of his team's game this afternoon against Brighton. What about Brighton? Well, Graham Potter makes five changes from the team that drew 1-1 with Chelsea at the Amex Stadium on New Year's Day. Shane Duffy, Lewis Dunk, Dale Stevens, Ali Reza, Johan Baksh and Bernardo all coming into the team for today. Striker Glenn Murray makes the bench after recovering from his knock as well. So Ryan in goal, then you've got a back three of Lewis Dunk, Duffy and Webster. Stevens and Proper just in front of them. Then, of course, your two wingers, Bernardo and Montoya, playing down the left and the right, respectively. Trossard and Johan Baksh in the just advance from them. And Maupay will lead the line for Brighton.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.